Hi, this is Rick Wakeman, and you're listening to Cat Tales.
You're listening to Cat Tales.
Hi, you're listening to Cat Tales, and I'm Cat. The words legend, superstar, and world-renowned are often overused these days, but when referring to Rick Wakeman, they are more than appropriate. A classically trained keyboardist, Rick reached international stardom with the influential band that pioneered progressive rock, Yes. However, real success came as a solo artist when he went on to sell more than 50 million records. As a keyboardist extraordinaire, he performed with Elton John, David Bowie and Cat Stevens, has been awarded a CBE, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and appeared as a grumpy old man on the BBC programme of the same name. When you chat with Rick, you're never quite sure what direction the conversation is going to go. He's intelligent, articulated, opinionated and amusing, in fact anything but grumpy. We talk about anything and everything, from the overcrowded internet, his hatred of family updates in Christmas cards, being impersonated online and his love for stargazing, to the subjects that ruin every good party, religion and politics. This is The One with Rick Wakeman. Hello there, Rick. It's Kat here, hoping to have a good old chin wag with you of a nice morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, knackered as always, but comes with age, doesn't it?
So you're not only a grumpy old man, but you're a knackered grumpy old man. That's
yeah, knackered and grumpy. Yeah, it's got to be. It's the only way to be.
I totally agree. But not at this time of the morning, surely, because you wanted to speak to me at 9 o'clock. So I thought, do you know what? I've got to be punctual because you're going to be sitting there waiting for this call. I just know it.
I get up at 5:30.
Do you? Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a habit?
Because, I mean, I like to try and get everything done. And the great thing about going into the office at really early in the morning is that, in the nicest sense, the phone doesn't ring.
Yeah.
It only calls that you're expecting, so you're not interrupting. I can get so much done in 2 or 3 hours before I go in the studio or drive off to a show or go off for a meeting or whatever. I just like the mornings. I suppose it stems way back from when I used to do paper rounds and get up at 4:30.
That must have been a long time ago, I have to say, Rick. Come on.
it was going back a bit. I think I started my paper rounds, what year would it have been? 1962, something like that.
Wow.
61, 62. They're probably not allowed to do them now. It would be called child exploitation or something daft.
Do you know, you're absolutely right, aren't you? How the world has changed, hey?
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, I enjoyed my morning paper rounds. So, you know, it was good. So I've got used to getting up early. There you go.
Well, it sounds like it, crikey. I'd have thought for somebody in your profession, though, Rick, it would have been staying up late. Or do you just go round the clock, you know?
I did in the sort of the... I suppose, shall we say, in the 70s, it was round the clock. Mm. You know, it was what's this sleep business? You don't need that. it was very much so. But really, you're quite right. I mean, my profession, I mean, when I was doing sessions, I used to get up again always at 5:30, because the first sessions in London were at 8 o'clock sometimes. So you had to get in before the rush hour, you know, park up and do your session. So I was always used to getting up. And late nights really were never... I'm still not great at late nights. I'll happily go to bed at 9:30 and watch the telly. And I think, well, I've been up since 5:30. That's fair enough.
Oh, crikey, yes. Bless you. Well, it sounds like you've got a busy life still. Thank you very much for talking to me, by the way. I mean, it's a while since we met, isn't it? I was just looking back at that and I thought, crikey, when was it? It was actually 2013, can you believe? That's almost a decade. It's like, what?
Really?
Yeah. I was just, I'm shocked. Because it feels like yesterday when it was Planet Rock and they did the Rock Stop, didn't they, in Great Yarmouth?
Yes.
And that's where I met you. But that does not feel like 10 years ago as well, 9 years or whatever.
No, that's right. And Gosh, you know, you're absolutely right. And radio's changed a lot as well.
Oh, hasn't it just? Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here in my, you know, my home studio, which, you know, years ago, you would just not have been able to do that, would you? And
nope.
You've got shows now that are online. You've got people doing things that they wouldn't otherwise have done. I suppose in one respect, it gives people opportunity, doesn't it?
It does, but it also, and I say this in the nicest sense, people like yourself who know how to do things. There's an awful lot of stuff online, which, to put it bluntly, if they didn't have the facilities and the software and that available, they wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
And the fact of life is, when they do it with it, it's not very good.
Yeah, that is true.
And that is the big problem with the internet. It is. I mean, people say to me, "Isn't it great that everybody can put their music up?" And I go, not really. It's great they can do it, but then the trouble is, if they're, what about people who want to listen to music? There's so many millions of bits and pieces up there. You go, well, you know, I haven't got time to wade through everything to see what I like.
Yeah.
There's no filtering service, quite rightly so. It's a thing, but you know, I do sometimes. I'll go through and have a listen to stuff, and a lot of it's not very good. I mean, I get lots of people saying, oh, have a listen to this. I've actually put on the website, I don't do that anymore. I'm sorry, I will not listen and make comments on because it backfires. I mean, I did, years ago, I would say, that even if something came through that I thought was pretty poor, I'd write back and say, you know, obviously you're enjoying making music, currently enjoying doing it, something like that.
Yeah.
And then suddenly on the person's website would appear that I'd endorsed their music. And then I would get other people write to me and say, we listened to this and it was crap.
Yeah.
Now, why did you say you liked it? So I thought, right, easier solution. No, don't do it anymore.
Oh, you're so right.
There's a few, and it's a shame. There is too much on the, I mean, I know labels, record labels, who don't even bother to listen through to the stuff anymore because they say, there is so much, we haven't got time.
Yeah.
In the old days when people used to send something in on a cassette, it meant they bothered to sit down, they bothered to try and record something, do something, package it up and send it off.
Yeah.
Now it's all can be done in a minute or so. And there is, unfortunately, yes, of course there's good stuff out there. The trouble is, how do you find it?
Yes. I was about to say the same thing. It's almost like it's quantity rather than quality, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Then you're looking for that needle in a haystack.
Yeah, it's a great shame. But on the other hand, you know, it's people enjoying themselves. Nothing wrong with that.
No, but then at the same time, you know, go and do it in a less public way would maybe be my advice.
The trouble is, everybody's thinking, oh, yeah, I've made a CD. Have you? How many have you sold? Well, no, I've made a CD and I've sent it off to a few companies and I think we'll get a big release with it. You go, you're living in dream world.
Absolutely. I mean, those days are really gone, aren't they? It is.
Oh,
now,
it's all changed.
It's
completely all changed. Absolutely, it's a different world.
Yeah.
And in some ways better, and in many ways worse. And you know, that's the nature of the game. And so it's no use trying to mix and match the two because they're not the same.
No, I totally agree. I mean, looking at your discography,
yeah.
She says, you know, putting my teeth back in. Now, you've got an absolute plethora of music out there, haven't you, with a career that spans all these years. Do you know, from the point of view of when you started to where you are now, the world has completely changed, hasn't it?
It's completely changed. I mean, I've said before, and I'll say the same thing now, if I was say 20 years old now, I wouldn't get a deal anywhere. Because I'm not young, I don't sing.
Mm.
Well, not if I was young, because I'd say I would be 20, but I don't sing. I would have been of no interest. Instrumentalists are of no interest to the, and the trouble is, if the media don't promote instrumentalists, and some of them are really, really good, if they don't do that, then the public don't get to hear them.
Yeah.
I mean, radio, I mean, you just take Radio 2. They don't play instrumentals.
Oh, do you know, it's amazing. I was listening to Radio 2 just the other day and I thought, my God, it sounds more like Radio 1. And I thought, am I just getting old? Or is
No, you're right. I mean, when I brought out the piano version of Space Oddity for a charity for Macmillan, and that, and we did that, and Radio 2 couldn't get on the playlist because of the fact that it was instrumental.
Wow.
But they were stuffed a little bit because it was ended up as a number one single. They had to play it.
I love it.
And they weren't very happy about it. I know. You know, and yet it's so ridiculous. It's got to be a song. I mean, I don't get that. You know, I don't get it. I mean, and a lot of the stations are the same, but it just shows how perception and radio and everything has changed, you know?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. And something, you know, in terms of, like, the kind of composing that you do, because that's what it is, isn't it, in the purest sense?
Yeah, it is really.
It's a composition, isn't it? I mean, it's fabulous. But when you think back to something like, you know, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table selling 12 million copies or something, that probably wouldn't get recorded now, would it? And B, you'd never have a hope of selling that volume, anybody selling that volume, because it's changed to downloads.
Yeah, I know, but the interesting thing is when it's the same with Journey of the Century. I mean, I did King Arthur at the O2.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, the audience age literally ranged from 8 to 80.
Wow.
You know, and it just, and you think, well, hold on a minute. I get no radio promotion on these albums at all. You get very little coverage at all from the media, and yet somehow tens of thousands of people turn up to see us. So we did two nights of Journey at the Royal Festival Hall.
Yeah.
They sold out within hours of going on. So and you go, well, hold on a minute, nothing ever gets played on the radio. Nothing ever gets. So you know, it's people really having to fight hard to know what's going on. I mean, I really think that there's I just think there's space out there for a radio station that covers all different kinds. I mean, I remember when Capital first started, and you had like Nicky Horn with his probably Your Mother Wouldn't Like It.
Yes,
it was brilliant because he played all the stuff that none of the other stations played. You also had the thing. I remember when presenters or DJs, whatever you want to call them, turned up with their own records to play.
Yeah.
And they had freedom to play what they want. There wasn't a playlist that said, you have to play this. You have to play two off of list B, three off of list A. Every hour you must play this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not presenting music to the public.
No.
That's a formatted idea. Now, that's fine. You can have some stations doing that. But they're nearly all like that.
You're so right. You don't get the John Peels anymore, do you?
I mean, BBC Radio 2 used to be great. It used to have a whole folk on Friday, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, if you like that kind of thing, which a lot of people did do. You know, there needs to be. I'd love to see a radio station that did specialist programs throughout.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. Because with Play It Again and Stream It Again, people can listen to them at any time they want.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
But nobody's going to do it. Nobody's going to fund something like that.
Well, this is the issue, isn't it? How do you make money out of these things? And people, you know, with the talent, as we were saying, you know, from the start of the conversation there, it takes a lot of time and effort to do these things, doesn't it? And you need to make something back from it. Otherwise, you can't completely, you know, continue to fund
it. Yeah, you see, I think if there were these programmes, that specialist programme, because of direct sponsorship, you could get them paid for because the music exists. You haven't got to create it.
No.
It all exists. The knowledge is out there and the history is out there. So there's nothing, there's not really, it's creating from what is already there.
Yeah.
And I just think it would work.
Well, do you know, if we've got a spare 5 minutes, Rick, should we set this up?
Yeah, get your checkbook out.
Yes, exactly. Oh, dear.
this is Rick Wakeman, and you're listening to Cat Tales.
It's all different now, it is all different. But, you know, looking back on your career then, you know, come on, tell me a few of the highlights. If you were to say, that was the moment, or I remember that one. Because there must be so many for you, let's be honest.
Every day's a highlight, to be honest, to be able to open my eyes and know that I'm still doing what I love. You know, that's a highlight. And as you get older, you realise that, you know, that is really something really quite special. I mean, there is, and the variation of being able to might be working on an album, composing, rehearsing with the band, putting music together, looking at old stuff, getting compilations, or doing some film music. Or that every day is wonderfully different. Highlight, and I'm really honest, every day is a highlight to still be able to do what I do. You know, over the years, I can look back and at the big journey tour of America. I can look back at King Arthur on Ice, which was great. I'd love to do that again. That was fantastic.
Yeah, amazing.
Six Wives at Hampton Court. It's just wonderful. All the people, lovely people I work with, like David Bowie, Cat Stevens, and Elton John, all those. It's just great. I mean, I've got a plethora of great memories, and I've got some memories that are not as nice, of course, but it's all part of life. You can't have highs without a low.
Oh, absolutely. It is a roller coaster, isn't it? And you can't, as you say, you can't enjoy the highs when if you haven't experienced the lows, you've got nothing to compare it with, have you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not great on a roller coaster. I'm apprehensive as it's going up to the top, but then I'm always sick on the way down.
I know exactly what you mean. I think most of us probably feel that.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've been looking through your website, which I have to say is absolutely fabulous if you want information on you. So I'm going to point everybody to rwcc.com.
It's great. Wayne Smith, who runs it, is an amazing guy. And that was one of the very first musical websites ever.
Wow.
It's over 20 years old.
Wow. Do you know, it still feels fresh because of the information on there. That's what I'm loving.
Yeah, Wayne is just absolutely brilliant. And the people who visited and do things is just tremendous. I'm techno useless, I am. I mean, Wayne very kindly does the Facebook, he does the Instagram, he does the website. Absolutely brilliant. And we point everything to there because at one time, about 15 or so years ago, there was about 10 different bloody websites all pertaining to that I was running them.
Oh, God.
And I logged into one day, and there was a chat room going on, and I was in it.
Oh, no.
And I was answering questions to people.
Oh, my
and
God.
It was all absolute rubbish.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So Wayne said, look, the thing to do is we'll merge them all into one, get rid of them, so you can actually say to people, if you go to this site, what you read there is true. Anything else you might read somewhere, don't believe it.
Yeah, it goes back to this idea that on the internet, you can be almost anything you like, can't you? And it's not how much of it is actually true. This is the...
Well, I went into, and it can do damage as well, because I went in many, many years ago, back in about 2001, 2002, I went into a... it may have been a bit later than that, actually. I went into a giggle. I had a look at the Yes website at the time. And there was a chat room. And both John and I were in it, arguing with each other.
The
truth of the matter is, I'd just been off the phone to John.
Oh.
So I know he weren't there.
Oh,
and I wasn't there. And you suddenly think, all these things, nobody can prove who you're doing, who you're talking to. And that actually, that's... stupid bit on the channel actually did a lot of damage to the band, and it took a lot of clearing up. So I'm not fond of these places unless there is a way of proving, you know, who's there. The same with all of those kind of things. Now, I mean, I did Twitter for years and thoroughly enjoyed doing it, having fun, but then it starts to get sort of the trolls pick up and on anything and turn it into something that it's not. And I thought, do you know what? Do I need all this? And then, for some unknown reason, my Twitter feed stopped working.
Right.
So it said, enter your password. You enter your password, and it says password incorrect, which you know it's not.
Yeah.
So you then go, do you want to reset your password? Yes. Okay. Well, put in your password so you can get in. Well, I can't put in my password because you won't accept it. Yeah. So I did this for about a week trying to get it to work, and in the end I couldn't. So I was like, I give up.
Yeah.
I just give up.
But that's a shame, you know, isn't it?
I think social media is fantastic when it's done in the right way and with people who actually are genuine and care. But it's unfortunately, it has a percentage of people who have the use of social media because they feel that everything that they have to say, the world wants to listen to.
Yes, absolutely. And it does get a bit sort of like egocentric, doesn't it? Where you,
oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, I don't get involved anymore. I mean, we use Instagram and Facebook, but that's done on a professional basis by Wayne, the website, and we feed proper information and stuff that we think is of interest and stuff that people ask to hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're using it as a platform that it's actually, first of all, it was initially designed like that, wasn't it? It wasn't supposed
to be. It was,
to be,
but then, you know, it's like an extension of one of the things that I absolutely loathe and hate, which is the Christmas card that comes through the door, and inside are four A4 papers telling you the history of what's happened to the family who just sent you a Christmas card.
Oh, dear.
At the beginning of January, little Tommy went to school. He had his new school uniform. I couldn't care. No, then I would have asked in the first place.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and it's an extension of that, that people think people are interested.
Yeah, it's like going around somebody's and they get out their holiday snaps, isn't it? You know?
It is, yeah, it's a continuation of the holiday snap. You're absolutely right, yeah.
Or what they've eaten for dinner. Why do you want to post that kind of thing? I mean, it's just, I just don't get that. I totally agree.
Nor me.
And it gets so labour-intensive as well, doesn't it? You know, you can almost get caught up in this thinking, I've got to put something out, I need to do this. And actually, do you? No.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, number of people go, oh, I've got my own YouTube channel. Oh, have you? Yeah, and you go, oh, I'll have a look. So you go on, and they've got three people who've viewed, and two of those have put dislike.
Yes.
And you go, why do you bother?
Yeah.
You know, it's, but there you go.
That's the world today.
It's the world we live in.
It is indeed, isn't it? Well, one of the little gems I did find on your website here, which is all about Time Machine. And hopefully this is true. Let's say, you've allegedly said, some of the songwriting on the album is some of the best I've ever written.
Couple of tracks on the, I mean, the album, the story of the album, it was, I was asked by Polydor to do an album and have some guests on it. So I thought it was great, and I started working on Time Machine, and the people that are involved came down to the studio. They loved the songs. They loved, you know, people like Roy Wood involved and John Parr, who was there, and all those, some really good people on board, and Tracy Ackerman, great girl singer. And everything was going great. And then suddenly, just as the album was finished, the MD or the CEO left, and a new person came in who called me up to Polydor to see them. So I went up, mate, and I went into the I won't mention his name. I walked into his office and he said, oh, sit down, Rick. So I sat down and a cup of coffee. Yeah, have a coffee. He said, right, the new album. And I said, yeah. He said, well, obviously, he said, I've only just come in. He said, I've had a listen to how things are going so far. I went, oh, great. And he said, I know my predecessor really liked it. And I said, yeah, yeah. He said, I don't. We're not releasing it. Bye.
Wow.
And I said, well, can I have it back then? And he went, no.
Oh.
So, bloody hell. So I came back. So I know I've got an album that I got to pay for to finish, but I don't own it.
Oh, my God.
And they're not interested in releasing it, which is so typical of so many record labels on how they work.
Yeah.
It's called, well, we're not going to release it, but we're not going to let anybody else have it, just in case it does well.
Yes.
You know, that's what happened. So anyway, eventually it was licensed for not very much by, which I've just bloody forgotten the name of the label, President.
Okay.
President Records, who put it out. But they're more of an acquisition company than a promotion company, so it disappeared without trace. But there were some good tracks on there. There was a track on there for the year it was done. When was it? We're looking at the 80s, aren't we?
Yes.
the 80s, the year it was done, there was some interesting stuff and things on there. There was a track on there called Ice, which was sung by Tracy Ackerman, which I always thought was, I was really so chuffed with that. And then another track called Ocean City, which was, I mean, there was some good songs in. Roy Wood, he sang on Custer's Last Stand. I wanted to edit that. I wanted to change that because looking back at it, and at the time, I was talking to Roy, who's still one of my greatest friends, and he said, you know, we just had a couple of the verses and choruses round the wrong way.
Right.
It just needed a bit of sorting out.
Yeah.
And he actually said to me, he said, it's a great, great song, very, very playable in every respect and very radio playable. And but, of course, with Polydor not taking it anymore and no money to be spent on dealing with it, that couldn't be done. But it was a great shame. But, you know, these things happen and it happens all over the place. And
It does, you know, doesn't it?
It was, what can you do? I mean, it's the music industry, not everywhere, but in many places, is run by people who don't know a hatchet from a crotchet. So it's, you know, and they like to wield their, you know, their sword of power.
Shiver.
Hi, this is Rick Wakeman, and you're listening to Cat Tales.
I mean, it must be so frustrating, though. I mean, you've come up with, you know, a concept, which in itself, I mean, looking at some of the concepts you've come up with, Rick, I mean, it's quite incredible, really, to even, you know, create that in your mind in the first place. But then to actually then go out and try and almost sell this to a record label must have been absolutely incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it was. And but it's how the business was. But then when you find somebody who goes, yeah, we'll go for that, we really like that.
Yeah.
That's great, which is what I had at Summit Polydor until, as I say, the boss left, and in came new people. I mean, I've had that at a few labels over the years, and I'm not the only one.
No.
And you just go, okay,
yeah,
all right,
yeah.
That's what it is. Especially at that particular time in the 80s, the way that record companies worked was they tended to sign an awful lot of stuff, throw it all against the wall, and whatever stuck they kept with.
Right, yeah. So a bit more fate than judgment, I think, by the sound of it.
Yeah, but also there was that strange situation that suddenly some of the artists were getting older than the MDs of the record company.
Ah, yes, good point. Yeah, so whether the MDs actually, you know, like that music themselves must have had a massive
influence.
No, they
didn't like that at all. Yeah. They didn't like having, you know, I often thought there should have been a label that specifically for, shall we say, the elder statesman musician.
Yes. Yeah. Good one. I like that. So how do you actually come up with some of these concepts then, Rick?
But the concepts, something happens and you go, that's it, and it just triggers. I mean, I don't know why. It's not deliberate. I don't go deliberately looking at things. I mean, the Red Planet that I did, I do a lot of stuff with Starmus, which is a big festival for astronauts and astrophysics and music, formed by Brian May, Stephen Hawkins,
wow,
and a wonderful guy called Garrick Israelian, who's the guy who discovered black holes. And I got involved because Brian May got me involved. He said, I know you're in love with this kind of thing, and I know that you've done albums and music to do with space. Come on board. So I came on board with the concept. I had some wonderful times, absolutely wonderful times with them. And we have a festival every 2 years, which we do. Obviously didn't do one last year because of the COVID situation.
Mm.
And I've met some wonderful people. I became friends with Stephen Hawking. I met all the astronauts. I met every astronaut that's still alive that went on the moon and all
wow.
that. I've had a wonderful, wonderful time. And it was during the last stars we did, which was to celebrate 50 years since man stepped on the moon.
Yeah.
And we did a concert in Zurich with there was Hans Zimmer, myself, Brian May, a few others, and we had every astronaut that had ever walked on the moon that was still alive there.
Wow.
Which was absolutely phenomenal, and we played We Are the Champions with a big orchestra when they came. It was just wonderful.
Absolutely.
And I was speaking to Garrick Israelian, the guy I mentioned earlier, and I said, what's next on the agenda? He said, well, he said, in 2 years' time, he said, there will be at least 3, possibly 5 missions going to Mars, because we've learnt so much in the last year or so that about Mars that we didn't know. And he said it is really exciting. He said it's a red planet, but he said at one stage we now know it was a blue planet. And
yeah.
I said, which means, he said, it was like Earth.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, isn't
and
it?
And I just went, that's it.
Yeah.
I've got to do this. And that's why I did the red planet. So things seem to sort of come along, you know. Hi, this is Rick Wakeman, and you're listening to Cat Tales.
Well, it's almost like you're storytelling, aren't you, that particular subject matter?
Well, that's what I like. I mean, when I was very young, 8, 9 years old, my father took me to see Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, and I just thought, this is wonderful. This is somebody telling a story to music. I mean, crap ending. I'd rewrite the ending, but it's just wonderful. I love it. Story to music. How fantastic is that? And from that moment on, that's all I ever wanted to do, write stories to music.
Oh, absolutely incredible. And why not? I mean, you know, we've been troubadours, haven't we, from the very earliest man. And why not
continue
that? And I think almost, you know, when we talk about music and modern day music, it has lost that element a bit, hasn't it? You've got your folk that still continues that. But otherwise, there doesn't seem to be many storytellers in other genres.
No, there's not. It seems to be a lost art.
Mm.
And I find that very sad, you know.
Hopefully it will come back. So you obviously have this incredible mind where you just absorb all this information. That's how it seems to me, Rick. And then you put it all out in a passionate way to music and create these wonderful pieces of art, really. Is it sort of like an everyday occurrence for you? Or is it like you can just
go
for it?
No, you can go 6 months and have... know what I call proper inspiration. I mean, I can write music. I mean, if I'm doing a film or whatever, that's, you're not really always looking for inspiration. You're just you're writing music with the knowledge you've gained on how to write music. That's how that works. But then occasionally something will happen and your eyes light up and you go, oh, what's this? Where's this come from? I did an album once called Out There. And out there was an album. Hold on, I'm just being attacked by two of my dogs. I say attacked. Now, what are you two doing, eh? hold on a sec. It's interesting where the stuff and the whole Out There album was all about music and where it comes from, and that we don't really know. I mean, it's a bit like, I mean, you write. Mm. If I asked you to write a book now, you could, with the knowledge that you've got on how to write and how to do things.
Yeah.
But would it be an inspirational book? Unlikely. It would be based on all of the things that you know.
Yes.
But then one day you might, for whatever reason, you come up with an idea and go, that is so good. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
And I think that's the answer on writing, and if it's inspirational and good, is if you can actually almost immediately say to yourself, where did that come from?
Absolutely. It's almost like divinely given, isn't it? I mean, I've spoken to many people who have gone, do you know, I just sat there one day and it's popped into my head and I thought, you know, looking up to the stars saying, thank you, universe, thank you, God, or whatever, you know, is
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, I've used the analogy sometimes that everything is out there.
Yeah.
We are the equivalent of if you've got a radio and you want to listen to, I don't know, Luxembourg or whatever, if you can tune in to Luxembourg, then you can hear the station.
Yes.
If you don't tune in, you can't hear it.
Yeah.
And I think that's very much like us as humans, that we have, you know, there's stuff out there that we can tune into, but if we don't tune in, then you don't get there.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people say it's about religion and things.
This is really interesting for me. I love this concept of, you know, people saying there that they, you know, there's religion and yet there's spirituality, isn't there? And there's and that connection to whatever, whether it's humanity or the universe or God, whatever you describe it as, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between a faith and religion. I'm not very fond of religion. Just creates arguments and wars. Faith, I think, I love it when people have a faith. I don't care what, and I use the word again, religion, but I don't care what their faith is as long as it's used for good. And I'm one of those people, which a lot of people do not agree with me at all, is that... all these religions, which I'm not very fond of, all have a God.
Mm.
And I actually think it's the same one.
Yeah.
you know, if you can imagine where it's all around the bottom of a pyramid and it actually reaches the top, and it's actually this, that it is actually the same,
do you know
what? The same power.
I totally but, agree with you, Rick.
The trouble is with religions, for over the years, it's all been used for the wrong reasons.
Yes, yeah.
And will continue to be so.
And that's
politics and religion always used for the wrong reasons.
Well, yes, absolutely. And a good way to ruin a good party, isn't it, really, to start talking about any of them.
Yeah, it makes me chuckle. I mean, I must admit, it's talking about parties of things. Is that what we've come to? I mean, I fully understand why people are upset about certain things like that. But then, just shows how pathetic it is when you've got somebody like I won't mention it, who gets removed from the inner circle of a government and then just spends the time, sort of coming back and attacking them. I don't know. It's just so, toxic.
Mm.
And then you get, politics used to be about making the world a better place, but it's not anymore. It's
no.
about whoever's in, let's get them out.
Yes, yeah.
And then the and I do think it's funny with the thing. Well, not funny. That's the wrong word. The there's a big element of who cast the first stone and all of that kind
yes.
of lark.
Yeah.
And I just find it. Oh, I don't know. I don't listen anymore. I mean, I'm slightly biased because I know Boris, but I also know a lot of politicians on all sides of the house.
Yeah.
And it's just
it's lost its way a bit, hasn't it?
Tear my hair out.
Yeah, I agree. We're sort of. I think it's almost like fiddling while Rome burns, isn't it? You know, when there's so much talk of just the detail bit of things that just do not matter, when there's massive issues that are therefore not addressed because everybody's looking the other way. You know, like climate change and and poverty and all these kind of big issues that are still
out there.
You know, and everybody's worried about somebody having a glass of wine when they shouldn't have done. You know, it just feels a bit, come on, everybody, wake up a bit. We've got bigger fish to fry.
Absolutely, much bigger fish to fry. And when you sort of what's going all over, and then I know, whatever, Keir Starmer kept very quiet when it was mentioned. Well, you had a drinks party. I mean, for heaven's sake, yes, I can understand people being very angry that they couldn't see people.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course, it was when it was out of order. But and it shouldn't have happened. And that's various things. And that's absolutely right. And there's a lot of things that make us all angry, and quite rightly so as well. But sometimes when in a relaxed atmosphere where the best jobs get done. Now, I'm not saying that that's an excuse because, of course, with the pandemic and things, it should have been better thought out. But I remember when the BBC used to have the BBC Club.
Mm.
There was a BBC Club in Birmingham, a BBC Club in London. And you know, that's where most of the best programmes were formulated. Because that was where all the different departments, people would go in there for a drink after work and things, and they would... And they would sit down and say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing a programme about... Oh, really? That's interesting. I've got this. I wonder if we can work those together. And that's how some of the greatest programmes came together.
Yes, yeah.
Because it wasn't, in a little office. It wasn't...
It's like forced,
what,
isn't
what
it?
What was that? The great programme with Hugh Bonneville, W1, whatever it was called.
Yes.
about the BBC when they're all in... offices where basically nothing gets done, and it's all an official meeting where the only thing they agree is to when the next meeting's going to be.
Yeah,
but when there was no holes barred, and I know when Pebble Mill was still in Birmingham, so many great programs came together through people meeting after work, having a drink before they went home and relaxing.
Yes,
in the BBC club, and sometimes those unofficial kind of meetings went on right until closing time because they came up with some great ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no great story starts with a glass of water and a salad, does it? Let's be honest. You know,
I'll have a donut brought in.
Yeah, it's just not going to work, is it?
I mean, most of the best ideas come when it's not official. I mean, I couldn't call my band in for an official meeting to discuss what we're going to do.
No.
It's discussed after rehearsal when everybody's having a drink or having a laugh. So whilst I'm not saying that the timing and everything was wrong, what they did, but it's not a bad culture, if you know what I mean. Of course, a lot of the best work is done in a relaxed atmosphere, and not with officialdom.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And a lot of the time, that's because it's not reported.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be, you know.
Yeah.
I just despair.
Yeah, I think we all do.
I turn the news off now. I don't even watch that now.
Do you know what?
It's of absolute no interest to me whatsoever. I go, oh God, not this again.
Yeah.
I know you have to report the bad news so we know what's going on, but I'd like it to be balanced a lot more with positiveness, you know.
I mean, the
COVID rates are falling.
Mm.
That had one sentence on the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, COVID rates are down, by the way. And now on to the weather.
Yeah.
It's almost like nobody wants to report possibilities of good things happening.
Yeah. That's sad, isn't it, really? That goes back to what we were saying earlier with the internet. You know, it's all full of trolls or people putting out untruths.
Yeah.
And actually, when something decent needs to be talked about, it seems to get overshadowed. Yeah, what a world we live in. What a world, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you, Kat. Really appreciate it. I love talking to you.
Thank you. You take care. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Cat Tales with me, Cat, and my guest today, Rick Wakeman. The tracks featured are Catherine Howard from The Six Wives of Henry VIII, Sir Lancelot and the Black Knight from The Myths and Legends of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, Ice from Time Machine and Ascreus Mons from The Red Planet. Visit rwcc.com for more information about Rick, where to purchase Rick's music, and when and where he will be performing live. To listen to this again and to other tales, visit cattales.co.uk.
You've been listening to Cat Tales.